This is a CK to Z news update. Traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM, has different prescriptions for each season, and in the cold winter months suggests warming foods to counterbalance the cold and damp of the West Coast climate. Cortez Island resident Janine Myla is a distance TCM instructor at Ecole Setsuko in Montreal. She weaves TCM principles into her acupressure practice and joins CK to Z News to share tips for healthy eating and living through the winter months.
In the winter time in Chinese medicine, we're in the water element, which is the fullest expression of the yin energy, which is like passivity, slowness, cold, wetness. So we're definitely in a damp, cold climate, but also just everything in nature is contracting and slowing down. So all the functions of our body are doing the same thing. Our metabolism, our circulation, everything starts to slow down. And if we look at the way that creatures in nature move, they also slow down and are in a restoration mode. So our bodies are doing the same thing. So we can't expect them to be as on as they are in other seasons, right? Because we're in this yin phase.
So how can we support ourselves in this time?
So one of the best ways to do that is to balance the yin slowness with more yang warming foods. So when we're looking at foods from a TCM perspective, they have cooling, dampening qualities, and some foods have warming, drying qualities. So having more warming and drying foods help to balance the cold and damp of the season. So for example, root vegetables, soups and stews, whole grains, meats are also very warming for those who aren't vegetarian, can really help to build that fire and that yang. And then of course, bringing more yang spices like ginger and cinnamon and cardamom. So having foods that are warm in their nature, but also the temperature. So having physically warm foods. And that's probably one of the best things to remember at this time of year. And I think for most of us, it's very intuitive. Just don't drink or eat anything cold, physically cold, because your body internally is facing the cold in the climate. So we want to try to balance that by creating a warmer internal environment. So avoid cold foods and cold drinks and drink warm teas and eat warm foods.
And in terms of that supporting you, what would you see if someone is doing the opposite and still drinking tons of, say, ice cold water, eating things straight from the fridge or what have you? What happens to the body?
So what happens is, I like to talk about the metaphor of the stomach as being like a cooking pot. So if the stomach is a cooking pot and underneath it, there's the flame, right? And the flame is the spleen from a Chinese medicine perspective. And actually, if you think of it with those of us who have gas stoves, when you light the pilot light, it's actually the kidneys that provide that pilot light, which is the essential flame that will spark the whole thing. So we have the stomach, which needs to be, so if you have a pot of boiling water and you want to make a soup with carrots and potatoes and stuff, the water needs to be at a certain temperature for the foods to break down. So if you imagine this pot of boiling water, what happens if you throw a bunch of ice cubes in it?
Not much happens.
Well, the water cools down, right? And then if you put your carrots and potatoes in, then they're not going to cook. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one thing that cold foods and drinks do, is they reduce the temperature of the stomach and slows down the metabolism and the digestion, leading to food stagnation. So the food doesn't break down properly. And then that drains the essential fire, which is the spleen and the kidneys. And that can lead to lower back pain, cold hands and feet, slow digestion, gas, bloating, irregular stools, cramping, that kind of thing. So essentially it slows down the digestion, but also kind of drains that heat, because the body has to use more fire to heat up the stomach to allow foods to break down. Also borrowing from the immune system as well. So over time, if you have too many cold foods, especially in the winter, it can actually weaken your immune system.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And what about the fact that we are in a pretty damp environment? And I know that dampness can really affect the spleen.
Well, certain foods are more dampening. So there's cooling and warming, dampening and drying. A lot of cooling foods are damp, but certain foods like dairy, for example, is very dampening. It's mucus forming, which can be good in certain types of constitutions that are more dry. But because we live in this climate, too much dairy can accumulate that dampness in the body, and sugar as well. Sugar is very dampening. So those are, I would say, the two main most common dampening foods that occur in people's diets. And so reducing them at this time of year is helpful to help reduce the dampness, but then bring more drying food. So a lot of whole grains and root vegetables and those warming spices I mentioned, like ginger and cinnamon, all of that can also dry out the spleen and help to support the warmth.
And does it help that most of us have wood stoves that dry in, you know, the indoors?
Definitely, big time, because the internal climate responds to the external climate. So wood stoves really help to dry out the body as well.
Mm-hmm. And here we are this time of year also heading into all this feasting and merriment, which is often then followed by New Year's resolutions to do the the heaviness and all that richness that we just consume that maybe is leaving us feeling a bit tired. And So is there any simple tips that we can keep in mind that will mitigate that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I guess one of the most obvious things is this issue of overeating. And I think we can all be really drawn to that when there's a really delicious meal. And so in that same idea with a cooking pot of the stomach, if you stuff it with too much stuff, then it's not going to break down properly. There's not going to be any room for the digestive fluids to be able to break down the foods. And so then that further drains the metabolism and the function of the digestion. So leaving a little bit of space in your stomach is probably the best way to go. And I know it's easier said than done, but usually when you feel content, that's a good place to stop. One of the tricks that I learned over the years is if I'm invited to dinner and it's really good and they're really encouraging me to have seconds, I'll say, can I take my seconds to go, right? Leftovers are great. So pacing that food over the course of a few days rather than just trying to get it all in at once. So there's that. And then there's, of course, working with food combining and, you know, having dessert after dinner is probably one of the worst things you could do because the sugars ferment and slow down the digestive process. So making sure there's a little bit of time between a meal and a dessert is a good way to go. I would say at least half an hour, ideally an hour, to just really give that space and you'll feel a lot better afterwards. And the other thing that I would suggest is to drink lots of hot water. So that activates the warmth of the stomach. And over this time of year, one can often be drawn to drinking alcoholic drinks, but to make sure that you're also having hot water helps to warm and activate the digestion.
Hot water, like herbal tea?
Yeah, it could be herbal tea. Don't drink peppermint though. Peppermint is cooling at this time of year. So going more with the warming spices like an herbal chai or ginger, or even just a bit of hot water with apple cider vinegar, which is warming and will also stimulate the liver and help break down some of those fats you're taking in.
And that's even good to drink a little bit before you start a meal, right?
Yeah, avoiding drinking while you're eating is probably another really good tip to remember because the fluids dilute the digestive system and makes things slow down. So having a bit of a drink before and a drink after is better than having it during.
Just sipping.
Yeah.
It's also easy to eat a lot, maybe too many different foods in one sitting when we're having these big collaborative meals and want to try everything. Is the best thing then to just take small amounts and make sure we chew well?
Yeah, and also just make sure to avoid fruits. That's one of the number one things for food combining is don't have fruit with anything else, really, unless it's in a dessert. It's like mixed into a pie and you don't have a choice, but more like don't eat fruits with turkey or that kind of thing. Cranberry sauce is all right. But yeah, that's one of the main things with food combining. There are others, but that will save you a lot of hassle.
Raw fruit or any fruit?
Raw fruit. Yeah. Cooked fruit is much easier in combination. Mm-hmm. Still can be hard, but definitely avoid any raw fruit.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
I think just enjoyment, just pleasure. Pleasure and joy is the best thing really we can bring to our bodies. So even if we might go against everything I just said, don't feel guilty and just enjoy it. And that will also bring a sense of lightness to your overall body.
CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.